Who was that babe in the manger? We're going to spend a very short time together this morning answering that question, but I want you to listen carefully. I hope that you'll take just a moment to clear your mind of everything else, because I'm going to present you with some thoughts that are very challenging, very deep today. I don't want you to miss them. But we start with the question, who is that babe that was born in the manger? Well, Luke chapter 2, verse 11 tells us very distinctly, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," listen, "which is Christ the Lord." That's who he is. And my first question to you this morning is this: do you believe that he is Lord? All right, second question: is he your Lord? I hope he is. Is he Lord of your tongue? Is he Lord of your time? Is he Lord of your treasure? Is he Lord of your talent? Is he Lord? Now that word Lord, a pious Jew would come to this word for Lord and he would bow his head in worship. He wouldn't even pronounce the word because he carried it in such reverence and such awe. And when a scribe was writing the scriptures and he came to this word, he would put down the pen that he was using and pick up a pen that had never been used just to write that word. Jesus is Lord. And for the shepherds to bow and worship him as Lord is really an amazing thing. Think what it meant for a Gentile to worship him as Lord. Rome had full sway over the world at that time. The emperor was Caesar. He was more, though, than an emperor to these people. If you've been with us on our Wednesday night studies, you know what I'm talking about. He was a god. In order to get along in the kingdom, you had to declare, "Kaiser Kurios, Caesar is Lord." The reason so many of the Jews and Gentile Christians were put to death is because they wouldn't say that. They would have gotten along splendidly in the kingdom if they would have just declared Jesus to be a God, but they wouldn't do that. They said, as it says in Acts 4:12, I believe, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." And that's why they were thrown to the lions in the Colosseum. To them, it was Christo Kurios, Christ is Lord. My question to you this Christmas is Jesus your Lord? Now, if he is, then three things are true. First of all, your confession of his lordship secures your salvation. And the principle behind that confession is this, and listen to this very carefully. I don't want you to miss this. We cannot receive what Jesus gives, which is salvation, and refuse who he is, which is Lord. Let me say that again. We cannot receive what Jesus gives, which is salvation, and refuse who he is, which is Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Say that with me. Christ is Lord. What's the great need in the world today? Is it information? Folks, we're drowning in a sea of information today. If we needed technology, God would send us an engineer. If we needed information, he'd send us an educator. If we needed money, he'd send us an economist or a financier. If we needed leisure, then he would have sent an entertainer. But that's not our need. Our need is salvation, and so he sent us a Savior. And isn't it amazing that God sent his message through humble shepherds? Herod, the ruler at that time, he never understood the message. But humble shepherds understood the message. Why is that? Well, the scriptures tell us because God has hidden these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. If you want to understand who Jesus is today, then you're going to have to lay all of your intellectual pride in the dust. We sing, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The confession of his lordship secures salvation. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, a part of the Roman road. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is the confession? The confession is Jesus is Lord. If Christ is not your Lord, you're not saved. You don't accept him as Savior. You accept him. Did you get that? When I married Becky, I didn't accept her as housekeeper. Now, she's an excellent housekeeper. But I said I do to her. I gave all of me to all of her. And since we got married, what, 47 years ago? Is that right? 46? Right. Well, got close. Listen, 46 years ago, plus, a little past that now. We're on our way to 47. I've learned a whole lot more about her. I've learned a whole lot more about me. But folks, when you come to Jesus, you can't come to him with your fingers crossed behind your back and say, well, I'll take a little saviorhood, please, but no lordship, thank you. Doesn't work like that. It isn't a cafeteria line. Charles Spurgeon said something I want to quote to you. Here's the quote. If the convert declares that he knows the Lord's will, but doesn't mean to attend to it, it is your duty to assure him that he is not saved. Don't imagine the gospel magnified or God glorified by going to worldlings and telling them that they may be saved at this moment by simply accepting Christ as their Savior while they're still wedded to their idols and their hearts are still in love with sin. If you do, you tell them a lie. If I do this, I pervert the gospel, I insult Christ, I turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. End of quote. Now, Spurgeon isn't saying that you're saved by good works. He's saying that you're saved by someone who is your Lord. You can't have a come-in Savior, but stay-out Lord kind of salvation. Why did Jesus settle the dust of Jerusalem with his own blood? Well, in Romans 14, verse 9, for to this end, in other words, for this reason, Christ died and rose and revived that he might be what? Lord, both of the dead and the living. The confession of his lordship secures salvation. Salvation is by grace, but folks, God does not save rebels. Have you bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't just tip your hat to him. You got to bow your knee to him. I don't care what you believe about him. Have you bowed your knee to him? You cannot accept what Jesus gives and refuse who he is. Here's the second thing. The confession of Christ as Lord not only secures your salvation, but it simplifies service. We can't accept him as Lord and serve any other master. If Jesus is Lord, he's your master. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and master, listen to this. You may not have ever thought about this before. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, that is the last independent decision you will ever make. I want to let that soak in for a second. From that point forward, he is the Master. Luke chapter 2, verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Their lives were transformed. In all these years, I've been preaching 40 plus years now. And in all these years, I have never tried to please all the members of any church I've ever pastored. I'd be in an insane asylum right now if I had tried. I only have one to please. And if I please him, folks, that's going to have to be good enough for you. He's the one I serve. I don't serve people. I serve Jesus. It's got to be the same with you. The question that we have to answer is the same one Paul asked on the road to Damascus. First of all, he says, who are you, Lord? And he got the answer to that. But then he said, what do you want me to do? See, the confession of Christ simplifies service. But the best advice anyone ever gave was the advice Mary gave to the others at the wedding when Jesus turned to water into wine. She said, whatever he says to you, do it. It's the best advice you'll ever give. If I please Jesus, it doesn't matter who I displease. If I displease Jesus, it doesn't matter who I please. And the way to please Jesus is to obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Look at Luke 9, verse 57 through 60. And it came to pass that as they went in their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer. Look at this. Me first. Me first. to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. You know, we have in God we trust on our money, but we have me first on our hearts. Just like that man did. Verses 61, 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home, at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, it's not me first. It's Jesus first. If Jesus doesn't come first, he doesn't come at all. No man can serve two masters. Lordship means that he comes first. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you say it and mean it that Christ is Lord, it secures salvation. It simplifies service. But number three, the confession of Christ as Lord subdues Satan. We need not fear what Satan does when we know who Jesus is. Satan hopes that you never discover what you have when Jesus lives in your heart. He hopes you never find out. Luke 2, 10, verse 11 says, and the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There's one fear that removes all other fears, and that's the fear of God. Which, it says in Proverbs, is the beginning of wisdom. This baby was born that he might take away all fear. And when the scriptures say that he is Christ the Lord, that means he's Messiah. Messiah comes to crush Satan's kingdom. The very first prophecy in all of the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And here's what that prophecy says. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, that means warfare, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, when the old rabbis would look at that passage, they would just scratch their heads in wonderment. They couldn't figure out what this meant. You see, it's not a woman that has seed. It's the man that has the seed. Adam isn't even mentioned in this prophecy. It's the seed of the woman, her descendants, who are going to be at warfare with the descendants of Satan. The descendants of the serpent will bruise the heel of this woman's child, but God said he's going to crush your head. The seed of the virgin will crush Satan's head. When you receive that child into your heart, you have a power that is awesome. You say, well, I'm not afraid of the devil. Well, that's fine, but that really doesn't have anything to do with anything. The real question is the devil afraid of you? The confession of Christ as Lord subdues Satan. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God and resist the devil, and he must flee from you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. What else did they overcome him by? the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What is your testimony? I'll tell you what your testimony is. Your testimony is the same as when you got saved. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hebrews 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he took on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. There it is, plain as day. Why did Jesus step out of glory and take on flesh and blood? I'll tell you why. So he could die. God's a spirit. Spirit can't die. Jesus had to take on flesh so that he could bleed as the perfect sacrifice upon that cross. And in so doing, he brought Satan's kingdom crashing down. And when you truly make Jesus your Lord, you're going to find out that when you meet Satan, he will cower before you. He will tremble. Satan trembles before a genuine child of God. People say, you know, well, Pastor, when I get saved, what do I do about that old crowd I used to hang out with? Friend, you're not going to have to worry about that one bit. You say, well, do I leave them? No. If you start confessing and living with Christ as your Lord, they'll leave you. You'll have to chase them down in order to tell them about Jesus, because they're scared to death of you. They don't want to be around you. The confession of Christ secures your salvation. It simplifies your service. And it subdues Satan. And I come back to the original question I started out with this morning. Is he your Lord? Our musicians are going to come. We'll give you an opportunity to make him your Lord if you've not already done so. I can't think of a better time of the year to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ than at the time when we celebrate his coming into this world to become our Lord. Well, friend, I want you to get real serious about this. Have you just given lip service to Jesus and you call him your Savior? I don't care about that. Is he your Lord? Did you surrender everything about you to him? And was that moment when you did that the last independent decision you ever made? That's the key. Is he your Lord? What are we going to sing, Gary?
348.
328. Let's stand. Friend, if you've never made that decision, that confession, and meant it with your heart, remember, with the mouth, confession is made, righteous with the heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. You got to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that and you surrender your life to him, you can be saved. If you haven't ever done it, you come as we sing.
Thank you.
Father, that is our prayer, that we would give our lives, our hearts to you. And Lord, we make you Lord of our lives, and sometimes, often, we take it back because we fall to sin. And Lord, we want you to be on the throne of our hearts. Forgive us for our sins as we confess them to you. Rule over us, Lord, and be our master. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join hands as we dismiss. Christmas Eve, if you can come at 6 o'clock.